The Evangelical Sacrament.
The year was 1988. Mary McDonald placed her hand on the TV, and was led by Jimmy Swaggart in a salvation prayer. "There's a new name written down in glory," he said as he pointed at her through the screen. She turned off the set and stood wondering, "Is that all there is to it?" The next day she went to early mass, said the rosary and lit a candle for her husband in purgatory. At work, she shared her experience with her friend, Sally. "Oh, that's great, Mary. I'm so glad you've found the Lord. But I don't feel any different. Is something supposed to change?" "No, you're saved because the Bible says you're saved. It has nothing to do with feelings. The Bible says we're to walk by faith." "Okay. I get it. It's because I said the prayer that I'm saved." "Yes. You see, going to church and doing good deeds can't save us. Only the blood of Jesus can save us. So everything I did before to please God didn't do any good, but now that I've said the prayer, God is happy with me?" Sally could see she wasn't getting through. She remembered she had a book at home called What Does It Mean to Be Born Again, and promised to give it to her the next day. That night, Sally read the book, just to make sure there wasn't any anti-Catholic content. It was written by John Wesley White, an evangelist who worked for Billy Graham. While reading, Sally tried to put herself in the place of a Catholic who didn't understand salvation by faith. When she got to page 43, she found just what she was looking for. "I was conducting a crusade in Middle America one night when Judy, the 16-year-old daughter of a Lutheran minister there, came forward to receive Christ. Her father was the chairman of the crusade. Baptized and confirmed, according to her own testimony, she had not yet been born again in Christ until that night." "Oh, this is good," Sally exclaimed as she continued to read. "In another crusade in the Midwest, the whole confirmation class of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church came forward to make decisions for Christ because, as their minister said, they wanted, like Martin Luther, to be sure they were genuinely born again, not just confirmed into the church." "That nails it," thought Sally as she determined to read the excerpt to her friend. The next day, during their lunch break, Sally read the two salvation examples to Mary. "Well, do you understand now?" Mary seemed confused, unable to answer. "What's the matter?" asked Sally. "Do you understand now, that salvation comes by faith?" Mary slowly formed the words, careful not to hurt her friend's feelings. "I understand that the 16-year-old had a definite born-again experience, because she said so, but the whole confirmation class assumed they were born again, because they went forward. In other words, they went forward, because they thought it would save them, and the writer assumed they were born again, because they went forward. I thought faith was something on the inside. Why did the author of the book assume they were born again?" Sally couldn't understand the question. Like the author of the book, she equated going forward with saving faith. Somehow, Sally couldn't see the Lutherans going through the process of confirmation and the Lutherans going forward in an altar call as only possible signs of saving faith. And if you, dear reader, can't see the inconsistency, perhaps you too equate going forward and repeating a salvation prayer with salvation, the evangelical sacrament.
Billy Sunday evangelism hits the fan.
This following story is based on an event that took place at a Southern Baptist church in Missouri. Two teenagers walked down the steps of the church gymnasium complex. The 17-year-old girl asked her younger brother, "What do you think about the message tonight?"
"I don't know. Did the youth pastor mean suicide when he said you can even take your own life and not lose your salvation?"
"Yeah, that's what he meant. I've got a really bad feeling about this. I'm going to tell Dad."
As they drove into the driveway, their mother and father were sitting on the front porch. The boy jumped out of the car and ran to his parents. Father stood up and smiled.
"So, how was the youth meeting? What was the sermon about?"
"Suicide," the boy blurted out before his sister could get there. She looked at her brother with a pained expression, grabbed her father's arm, and pushed him back into the chair.
"Dad, sit down, I've got to talk to you. What happened?"
"The youth pastor said it was okay to kill yourself. I mean, he said God wouldn't hold it against you, that God would still let you into heaven, even if you killed yourself."
"Whoa, hold on, slow down, he told you this, or did he tell the whole group?"
It was in his sermon, Dad. Everybody heard it. The father sat silently for a moment. Sit down, kids. Let me explain something. We are Southern Baptists. Part of what we believe is if someone is truly born again, there's no way he can lose his salvation. The girl couldn't contain herself. She stood up and threw her arms in the air. But a saved person wouldn't kill himself. Hold on. I've got a problem with that too, but there's another issue. Saying a saved person can kill himself is like saying it's all right to sin, because God can't do anything about it. That message might be appropriate if you're making a point of theology with someone you know is saved, but I know most of the kids in your youth meeting. How many would you say are saved? Maybe 5, 10 at the most. And how many were there tonight? About 80. It was a big crowd. There were about 15 kids I never saw before. Whoa, this is serious. How many of the kids think they are saved? Well, I don't know anything about the 15. But all our kids think they are saved, because they've all prayed the sinner's prayer. So 15 from 80 is 65. Out of the 65, you think at the most, 10 are saved. That leaves 55 kids that probably aren't saved. And these kids were assured by the youth pastor that they could sin, even kill themselves, and God has to take them into heaven. Whatever happened to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus warned of hell repeatedly, and cautioned, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20 NASB. An effective presentation of the gospel must start with the fear of the Lord. Almost every sermon Jesus preached warned of judgment for sin as the motive for being perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. The purpose of almost every parable was to warn of inevitable destruction, if the listeners didn't repent. In the book of Matthew, in addition to the parables, the message of Jesus clearly warns of the consequences of sin in 243 verses, compared to just 61 verses centered on the blessings of serving God. His message was clear from his first sermon on earth, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3:2. Till his last sermon from heaven, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work." Revelation 22:12.